Let's dive a little further into how the modality of soul realignment actually works. The absolutely best way I know to get clear and precise information from the Akashic Records is through the practice of pendulum dowsing. Now, this is a dowsing pendulum. All it is, it's a piece of stone, in this case, rose quartz, on a chain. Sometimes they're on a string, right? And you hold the pendulum and it'll swing certain ways for yes or no or maybe. Now, this is very important. There is nothing magical or mystical about pendulum dowsing. Please understand, rock on a string, there is no magic here. Because sometimes people see it and they're like, whoa, the pendulum moves on its own. No, it actually does not. So I really want to demystify this process for you so that you understand why we use it and why it works. And I'm going to give you a more detailed how-to tutorial on pendulum dowsing a little later. But for now, just understand there's nothing magical or mystical about it. We already exist fifth dimensionally, right? All of us have a fifth dimensional aspect. We've already talked about this. Well, pendulum dowsing is a very effective way to connect our fifth dimensional aspect to our subconscious mind so that we can consciously receive the information we want. This is why pendulum dowsing is awesome. It kind of brings all of our different parts together in a very practical way. So, remember, we want to access the fifth dimension, which is where the Akashic Records are, right? That's how we get the soul level information. It's the lowest dimension that we can get that information from. Now, what happens is that your subconscious mind is actually what moves the pendulum, okay? Even though it may look like your hand is still, you're creating tiny little movements and it makes the pendulum swing in certain directions. We'll talk about how to set up your yes or no or maybe in our dowsing tutorial, but understand you are moving your hand. It is your subconscious that does it. It is not magic, right? And the conscious mind gets to then play very specific roles. The conscious mind gets to ask the question and receive the answer, but we have the conscious mind kind of step away from the process of getting the information. We allow the subconscious to take over and work with our fifth dimensional aspect. So it works extremely well. You know, what it really does is it allows us to engage the conscious logical mind, and that way we only receive the information we want. And what we do in this modality is use very specific dowsing protocols. Think of it like the search terms for the database that is the Akashic Record, because you don't know what you're looking for, right? So you kind of need to know what to ask. And the pendulum really can only indicate a yes or no and the occasional maybe. Now, that might seem confining and limiting, except when you combine it with really good protocols, what happens is you create incredible specificity. It is this specificity that makes our work so powerful. There is no guesswork. We don't just sort of open up and see what we get and, you know, get vague impressions. And then when we sit down to do a session with a practice client, we sort of go, oh, I sort of feel like that. No, mm-mm. We are really specific. We tell it like it is. And that is why our work has so much impact. I mean, the answers are what the answers are, period. And it really is such a high level of specificity that really can direct us in creating the human experience that we want. We don't want vague impressions. We want actionable information. We want transformation. So pendulum dowsing also allows us to externalize the process of accessing the Akashic Records. And that's really important because we don't want to become attached to any kind of feel or visual experience. See, if you're constantly using your conscious mind to try to project yourself into the Akashic Records, first of all, your imagination is always going to have to fill in the blanks and you won't be able to tell the difference. You won't. All right. But also, sometimes people get attached to it looking a certain way in their mind's eye, or it feels a certain way. And that's actually really dangerous, because as you get better at this, your perceptions are going to change. So, you know, our ego often wants to know that we're truly doing something, or that we're doing it right. And that's why we might attach to some sort of significant sensory experience. But, you know, between lesson 2 and lesson 8, how it feels is going to totally change, because you're going to become more efficient and more practiced. So if you were to navigate by inner perception, you would get horribly confused. Dowsing provides a very stable and unchanging way to access information from the records, because it's happening outside of you, right? It is something that you're doing, and the pendulum is swinging yes, no, and you don't have to kind of dig around in your mind's eye or feel your way, because, you know, and quite frankly, those perceptions can change just depending on what kind of day you're having as well. So pendulum dowsing finally is also something we do. And this is really important as well. It's an active process rather than a passive one. Remember, the Akashic Records are just a database. They don't have any consciousness. They are not a source of guidance. They're just a source of information. Some people go into the Akashic Records and want to be told what to do. This is not what we do. We want to pluck very significant, actionable information out of the records, and we want to do it on purpose. We decide what information we want, and we decide when we want it. So it's a very active process, and we are very much in charge of that process. And so, because pendulum dowsing is something you really do, it aligns to that active, in charge momentum that we have when we're doing really powerful work. So, you know, just like Google, the Akashic Records don't interpret your search terms. So you really have to be firmly in charge of receiving the information you want. We go and get the information. We don't let it sort of passively waft into your extrasensory perception. There's no surrender to spirit where, you know, we're just like, let's just see what happens, because we're not the boss. We're just down here. Spirit is up there, and spirit must know something that we lowly beings don't. No, this is about spiritual authority and you being in charge of your process so that you can stand as the divine being that you are, right? So it's a very different, very active energy that we bring to this modality. So obviously you're going to need to purchase a pendulum. They're very inexpensive, and they're available at stores that sell crystals or metaphysical bookstores, but the easiest place to get them is just online at amazon.com. Now, if you truly don't like dowsing, I will show you an alternate technique using muscle testing. It's just as effective with our protocols. I don't like it as much, but it works just as well. So if you're really someone that hates the idea of pendulum dowsing, don't worry, there will be an alternative. But, you know, if you've never tried it, I really recommend you give it a try. And like I said, I'll be teaching you the details later in this lesson. Now, the next thing that we need to talk about is frame of reference. I use the term ad nauseum. You are going to get sick of me saying frame of reference. But the thing is, we need a mental framework of understanding so that we can effectively interpret the energies of the fifth dimension into our human experience. I mean, the fifth dimension lies beyond the mind. It's energy. It's not language. There's no words. It's the fifth dimension. It lies beyond the mind. Words and language are a mental concept. So what we are essentially creating through this modality is a mental framework or frame of reference that allows us to interpret the energies from the fifth dimension, that energetic information, interpret it in a way that we can wrap our minds around and actually do something with it. And we are in charge of providing that framework. It doesn't just happen. We actually have to set our mental frame of reference up to be very specific so that we know exactly what we're asking, and we hold that frame of reference so that we have a way of interpreting the information we receive from the Akashic Records in a way that is cohesive and actually makes sense. You know, if we can't wrap our minds around the information from the records, it's pretty useless. Also, we have to clearly name and define energetic phenomena so that we can understand them. And if we're going to communicate effectively with the client, we certainly have to understand what we're talking about. Now, soul realignment really is a very cohesive and logical and comprehensive mental framework of understanding. It is very satisfying to the mind as well as the soul. So while you're studying soul realignment, I'm going to ask you to just adopt a beginner's mind. Please don't try to combine this work with other frames of reference or modalities until you're complete with your training. We have to remember language is a limitation of sorts. It's all we've got, but it's still limiting. Many modalities use the same terminology for different concepts and different energetic phenomena. So if you've studied other healing or intuitive modalities, terminology is going to be different. You know, in shamanism, an implant is one thing, and in soul realignment, it's something completely different. So please resist the idea of thinking that certain terms are absolutes. In fact, I'm always calling my students on it when they're using a term that sounds all spiritual. Then I say, well, what does that even mean? And very often, they don't know. They just heard it said in a book. It sounded nice. It sounded lofty and spiritual and cool. And, you know, other people are using it. And by the way, nobody like defines the term and says, okay, well, logically, what is it? You know, and it's one of the problems in the spiritual development community that a lot of people are using language without actually having defined for themselves what they're even talking about. That is not something we do in soul realignment. We define extremely specifically. Because the more specific your mental frame of reference is, the more specific the information you receive and the more accurate you are. And the more clearly you can communicate it later. So again, this is about making this work really powerful. So nothing is absolute. Please let go of the idea that one frame of reference is right. Okay, there's really no such thing. What matters is that we have a common interpretation of certain energetic phenomena so that we can work together within this modality. I mean, remember the fifth dimension, it's energy as information, but there's no language. So now we as individuals have to create a way to interpret that. Well, every person is going to have a different way of interpreting it. So if we then insist on saying, well, my way is the only interpretation because it's true. I mean, come on. But we do have to know what our frame of reference is. So we have to have it clearly defined for ourselves. That doesn't mean it's right or the only one. It just means it's cohesive and logical and makes sense. All right, so we all need to be on the same page. So please pay very close attention to how every concept is defined within this modality. It is a matter of discipline. I get that, but it is so worth it. Like I said, a frame of reference isn't right or wrong. It just has to make sense. The concepts can't negate each other. You have to have a thorough understanding of what you're asking about before you ever pick up your dowsing pendulum. So throughout this modality, please never, ever do a protocol without having first studied the content that goes along with it. Because if you do a protocol and you don't understand, if you think, oh, the Akashic Records will know. No, they don't. Okay? Up there, it's energy. Language is fourth dimensional. All right? So, no, if you don't know what you're asking, the Akashic Records don't know what you're asking either. Remember, your intent or lack thereof is always going to be reflected back to you in the information you get. So, if you go in with a lack of clarity, you get back, guess what? Lack of clarity. So, you don't have to have all the information from this course memorized. For example, you know, when we get to soul groups, it's just way too extensive. So it's not about memorizing. It's just about understanding what you're asking. If you don't understand the question, then you're letting your frame of reference slip and that opens the door to a lot of inaccuracy. So for example, if you're asking about a vow, you need to know, how do we define that term in this modality, and what are the different options for the answers? And the more disciplined you are in upholding a clearly defined frame of reference, the more accurate your sessions really will be. You know, I believe our mind is as sacred as our soul and as sacred as our body. And I really find it disconcerting if there's spiritual teachings that ask us to not think. I find that very disempowering. You know, oh, just believe. Just take it on faith, because we said so. And we've been around for thousands of years. I am not a fan of putting our mind on the shelf. That is really disrespectful to everything that we are as human beings, which, yes, we're a physical being, but we're also a thinking being. And that's what differentiates us from other species that we share this planet with, is our capacity for conscious thought, right? And so we don't want to disrespect that. I'm going to ask you to involve your mind. I really strive to keep this work very logical, and I want you to engage with reasoning. And I'm going to ask you to think for yourself once we get into later lessons in this program. All right? So we don't want to be disempowered because we're just putting our mind on hold. That's not what we're doing here. So I really try to keep things non-dogmatic, so that your thinking logical mind is satisfied. Now, there are a few aspects of this course that you're just going to have to accept for now and then put into practice in order to really experience that they are valid. But you will actually put them to the test for yourself eventually. So while you're studying, you might just have to accept it for now. But, you know, I don't ever want you to just take my word for it. I want you to take what you learn, put it into practice, and then you'll see the result for yourself. You'll see the result in your own life when you create way more abundant circumstances for yourself. You'll see the result when you deliver your sessions to your practice clients. All right, so the proof is in the pudding. The rubber will meet the road. You might have to kind of suspend the need for certainty while you're in the middle of studying, but please understand that you will have proof that the work works in your own experience eventually. You will, all right? And not years down the road either, okay? Just a couple of months. So hang with me for a couple of months. And of course, you have to put things into action. You have to actually practice this work. But then the truth of it is always evident in our results. I'm really big on the results showing us the truth. That is the glory of this third dimension. Our results are so obvious and sometimes so very painful, right? They're hard to ignore. So our results will always tell us the truth. And we never want to ask others to take our information on faith either, just because we said so, right? Discover the truth within your results. That is always where the proof is. Now, our entire frame of reference is geared towards just a very specific, very practical focus. What will help the client or us or our loved ones create the life we want? What will help us create a life that is an expression of who we are at soul level? What will help us create greater abundance and joy and fulfillment? What will really help us express our spiritual potential at the level of our human experience? That's it. That's all we're looking for. Right? So what we don't want in this modality is random, abstract, hypothetical information that's not actionable. Honestly, like sometimes students ask me, well, after we transition, what exactly happens? I don't know. And I gotta be honest, I'm not sure I actually care, because whatever happens after we die, I can't use it right now to make my experience better or to help anybody else make their experience better. So it really is just the mind playing curiosity, which is fine. I mean, the mind is inherently curious, but I mean, there's just so much out there that isn't even worth discussing, because we can't actually use it for what we came here for, which is to experience ourselves within our humanity. So if we can't use the information we glean from the records, it really only serves curiosity. So please try to be disciplined don't let your mind wander into the realm of the hypothetical. Yes, our mind's job is to be curious, but you know, curiosity can be distraction if you're not directing it towards practical problem solving. So just ask yourself, why do I want to know? Can I use it? Can I use it to shift my experience towards what I want? Would it serve anybody else to create the human experience they want? And if the answer is no, this is not useful, just be disciplined. Train your mind to go, you know what? That's a curious thought, and it's kind of interesting to play with, but that's not what we're doing here. Because otherwise, you can just jump down this weird hypothetical rabbit hole as you study that just, it's a time suck, essentially. So remember, we're already in information overload, right? We do not need more information. So what we're focused on here is transformation. What we gather from the Akashic Records must hold transformational potential, either for ourselves or for our clients. Otherwise, we're just making noise, and we have so much of it already. So this is about expressing our immense spiritual potential into our human experience, because quite frankly, that's how we're going to raise consciousness on our planet. That's what we can really contribute. It's transformation. We're past, or well, we're not past the information age, unfortunately, but if you're at the forefront of evolving consciousness, it's time to get past the information age and go into what I call the wisdom age, which is about information that is useful, that has practical application, and actually use that information in very grounded ways to create more of the experience that we want.